Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. You want to call up Trump now?
Sure. Yeah,
let's check in.
Hello.
Hey, good morning, Mr. President.
Oh, good morning, Spaz and Ray J.
Hey.
Hey. Before we get started, I'd just like to take a moment to point out that God's gift to the silver screen, Mr. Robert De Niro, did not receive a Golden Globe nomination for The Irishman.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Couldn't have happened to a more deserving guy, really. I love the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. I really do.
I'm surprised he didn't get one for saying F Donald Trump.
You think that's worthy, a worthy performance?
Nah.
If you said yes, this phone call would have been over.
House Democrats announced two articles of impeachment against you.
Okay, first off, I just want to remind everyone in your listening audience that you have a voice, and your voice matters. So don't forget to call your Democrat members of Congress today and tell them to go screw themselves, okay?
Exactly those words?
Yes.
Okay.
Verbatim.
Gotcha. Don't go screw yourselves, okay?
Bigly verbatim.
Gotcha.
Did you watch them announcing the impeachment articles?
Yeah, I caught some of the coverage, but I ended up getting distracted and tuned out when Mike Pence emailed me the trailer for the new Ghostbusters movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was watching that instead. Hey, good news. It's not starring all those annoying broads from Saturday Night Live.
Oh, good.
This truly is a season of miracles, sir.
You got that right, Mike.
CNN and the Washington Post reported that you continue to use your unsecured personal cell to do official business, and that you've even given the number out to heads of state. Any truth?
Consider the sources, guys. Fake news. Everybody needs to relax about this. Even if I did give out my I'd only give it out to people I trust the most. People like Dennis Rodman, Ted Nugent, Vladimir Putin, Gary Busey, little Kim Jong Oompa Loompa, and Gene Simmons. That's all. Completely safe people to share with.
Yeah, no problem.
Is that Mike Pence coughing up a hairball?
Excuse me, sir.
Could you just excuse yourself and get out of the room, Mike? Sorry, guys.
Oh, that's okay.
Sorry about that.
People Magazine doing an article called Free Melania says she's very much in charge at the White House, has a lot of influence over your decisions. What do you think? Is that true?
Look, you're quoting an article from People Magazine, please. I mean, that's like asking me if an article you read in the New York Times is true.
Does the First Lady have influence over you?
Look, I'd love to answer your question, but I haven't run it by her yet. So let's take a rain check on that one, and I'll get back to you.
All right, cool. It works, yeah.
You made some remarks about the EPA water restrictions. You said Americans are unhappy that they are having to flush the toilet 10 to 15 times. Where do you get those numbers?
Horrible restrictions. It's called common sense, guys. Look, there are two things that I'm an expert at, how to properly use a colon on Twitter and how to properly use a colon on the toilet. Now, today's bathroom fixtures are just too restrictive, especially in my private Oval Office bathroom. I mean, if I have to keep stopping what I'm doing to flush the toilet, how am I supposed to put together a cohesive tweet? Sad.
Any thoughts on the biggest stories of the last decade?
Me becoming president, that's about it.
Yeah, what do you think the biggest stories of the last decade are?
The last 10 years?
Yeah.
When did the iPhone come out?
All right, thank you, Mr. President.
Stay huge, Jazz and AJ.
She was in The Irishman.
Yes.
But also from East Haven.
Hey.
Her mom's from West Haven.
Hey.
And Mike Frieda, the first selectman of North Haven, is your cousin, right?
Yep, that's right.
My God, your connection's here.
Jordan Di Natale. Wow, what a movie to be in.
Thank you.
Doesn't suck.
Smokes.
No, it doesn't.
Let's start from the beginning and work our way through. You get a phone call to audition for this. Do you know what it's for?
I knew the name. I did have to look it up because, you know, it's just like The Irishman. Well, what's that?
And right. What is it?
Yeah.
The documentary?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, so I looked it up. I did some research, found out about the book. I heard he paint houses.
Were their names connected to the project?
Yeah, like on my research online. Yep. But in the email, it's all like pretty secretive. They don't tell you anything.
So he's sending this email. Who contacts you? Your agent?
Yep. Yep.
Okay. Hey, I got this. You're going to try out for this thing.
Right.
Basically, exactly. Yep.
And did Scorsese contact your agent, or did your agent push for you to get in?
So, right. So, it usually, casting director, usually they have kind of like a list of people.
People they like
that,
to work with.
That they know. Yeah. People they know. People that maybe they've seen before. They know they're going to deliver some good work because they want to make sure they bring in only people that they
right,
like.
Right. They want to keep getting work from this people.
Exactly.
Right. People.
Yep.
Right. Okay. So, you get it. And then you see Irishman, you look it up, and then what's the first? Do you see Scorsese's attached to it?
Oh, yeah. Scorsese, De Niro, Pacino.
All those names are there.
A lot of vowels.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A-I-O-U.
How did you feel when you saw all that? What was your reaction?
I mean, I was just, you know, honestly, I thought it was really cool, but I've been on so many auditions. I was like, it's just another one. It's just another
That's
audition.
It's a good attitude.
Right.
Yeah, because you don't want to get too excited. Until you know, like, you get excited when you get the part,
right.
Basically.
Right. They cut the check. Hey, go.
Well, you'll be out of your head. You won't be able to audition because you
exactly.
won't be really in the room. You
right.
won't be in the moment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So tell us about that. So now you show up for the audition. I like, and this is why she got the part, because she sees this, and then you just assumed who you were going to be trying out for. One of
right.
Hoffa's, Frank's daughters.
Frank Sheeran's daughters.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. Yep, and I did some research on it because there was no info about who the character was. And I was like, I can't just go in blind. Usually there's lines or sides that you have to prepare
yeah.
for the audition, but there was nothing like that. So I did some research, found out that, you know, my character was really liked Hoffa and, you know, was just like kind of like a nice person.
Yeah.
Because that's definitely something you want to know. And I think that really helped me, like really helped me go in with an idea of who my character is.
You get there thinking you're going to be reading lines, and they say you're going to improv.
Yep, exactly.
Oops. And
yep.
now you're prepared because you did your research.
See that?
That's what it was, yeah. And then the improv was actually one of the scenes I'm in, which is the big banquet scene where we're honoring Frank Sheeran and Hoffa, you know, Pacino. He's on stage. He introduces my dad, and we're all excited for him.
Right.
Yep.
Or else.
That scene... is nuts. Like, everybody is
yeah.
in that. That's like a museum to great actors.
That was crazy.
Yeah. And how long did that take to shoot?
That scene probably took about 2 weeks total.
2 weeks.
That
2 weeks.
Yeah. It was a short scene, but long.
This angle, that angle, this angle, that angle. That, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So everybody's there. Harvey
Everyone's
Keitel.
There, yeah.
Anna Paquin. Stevie Van Zandt.
Right.
Yep.
The singer.
He sang to me.
Oh,
was,
really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was standing at the front of the stage. Of course, you don't see that. You know, they just pick bits and pieces to use in the film.
Right.
But, yeah, he was singing to me a bunch.
Nice.
That was cool. He actually kind of got mad at me for a second. He was like, because I wasn't paying attention to him at one point.
Right.
And after we cut, he looked down at me. He was like, I'm singing to you over here.
Hey, relax there, Silvio, okay? It's all right.
That's, I heard there was some trouble with that shooting because of all the smoke.
There was. Yep. Yep. There was so much smoke. Not only were there the herbal cigarettes on set, like everyone had them.
So they're not real cigarettes.
Right. They're not real, but they still smell really bad. And it's also just a lot of smoke. They also had smoke machines because they wanted a better atmosphere. They wanted to really feel like you were in that time.
Right, yeah. Back in the day, lots of smoke, yeah.
Yeah, and then, yeah. And
what
then,
was that like? Did that, you wear contacts? Were you bugging out?
Are you still coughing?
Was that tough to breathe?
I didn't wear...
It's like being in a car in the 70s with your parents and the windows are up and they're both
smoking.
My dad smoked
a pipe. I couldn't even see out the window. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it wasn't too bad for me. I mean, I am pretty sensitive, but it wasn't that bad. But Scorsese did get a little sensitive to it. And we did have to skip a day of shooting.
Oh, really?
Because of the smoke, yeah.
Right.
Now, what do you mean sensitive to it?
Well, I was told, I'm pretty sure he has asthma, so it was just...
Oh,
oh.
Idea. Yeah.
So he was physically sensitive to it.
Right. Mm-hmm. When it was the mayor, yeah.
Wow. And so it took 2 weeks to shoot that scene. And then you were in another scene, right?
Yep, another scene towards the end of the film when we all find out that Hoffa is missing.
Right.
And we're on the couch with the family, and De Niro walks in. And kind of, he's lying. He pretends that he doesn't know anything.
Right.
But he's the one.
How did this happen?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I'm just as surprised as you are.
No, really, it was your sister who said, well, you didn't call her yet?
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, Anna Paquin, yeah.
And that was pretty obvious then.
Yeah.
Why didn't you call her?
I had that thing I had to do.
Yeah. Unreal. So did you learn anything from these guys? What did you take from this, working with some of the greatest people in the movie industry?
Well, I definitely learned, it's just, you know, they were very, very nice and calm, respectful to everyone, which I always am. But it goes to show, like, you have to be constantly just nice. Like, you can't snap at anyone. You have to really be aware of what you're doing and who you're talking to at all times, because you never know
Who
you're talking to. There are so many people on that set. And every set you go to has, like, a different vibe and a different feel. And sometimes you're like, I'm working with the greats. They could do whatever they want. Like, if they're mean or rude, no one cares. But,
they're the most well-behaved.
Well-behaved. Very kind. It was a really great experience.
And Scorsese was very complimentary of your work, right?
He was, yes.
That's cool.
A little, yeah.
Yeah. What did he say to you?
He came up to me during that couch scene I just mentioned, and he said that he liked my choices, which is, as an actor, that's like the biggest compliment you could get. Because
What does that mean? What are your choices?
Mm-hmm. Well,
facial expressions, where you're sitting.
Right. It's the things you choose for your character to do. Especially when you don't have any lines, how you get across what your character is feeling, those are kind of what your choices are. And they come across through the screen. You know, you're thinking the thoughts
that's
of the character.
Big. Did you say, here, can you write that down?
And then hold on.
Let me get my phone out. Can I record this? I just need a little Instagram.
And then
little something.
Over here and just sign if you don't mind. Yeah. Right here. Yeah.
This just might wind up on my YouTube page. That's all. That's all.
Did Pacino and De Niro have a lot of off-screen time together when you guys were in between takes? Were they chit-chatting?
They did, yeah. They were talking quite a bit. It's funny. They always, like, go up to each other when they see each other first, or when they're leaving, and they, like, give each other a kiss on the cheek.
So Godfather, kind of, you know,
both cheeks, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Same with Scorsese, too. He gives everyone a hug and a kiss.
Right.
Yeah.
And did you have any interaction with Robert De Niro?
I did, yeah. Yeah, we were backstage together. Well, for one of the scenes, we were on a soundstage. So we were on a built set.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we were backstage together and just kind of chatting a little bit. And I told him I loved Meet the Fockers. Super embarrassing.
Why is that embarrassing?
Oh my gosh, because right when it came out of my mouth, I was like, oh.
Hey, you just analyzed this.
Word vomit.
Right. Why would I say that? But right. I had just watched it the other day, and I was like, I didn't say one of his great movies, like Heat or something.
Right, right. Godfather, one of those.
But he just laughed. He was really nice about it. I don't know why he asked me if I meant Meet the Parents. Maybe he likes that one better.
Right. The originals are always better.
Yeah, right. Even he agrees.
I like that. He's correcting you. You mean that, the one that right. I like.
I'm telling you. Yeah.
You're going to hear this song for a long time now. Every time you're introduced, you know the rest.
Yep. It's a ringtone on the phone, actually, now.
Jordan Di Natale, actress featured in The Irishman in studio. She's from East Haven. Your mom's from West Haven, right?
Yep.
Did you go to Southern?
I did.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at that.
See? East, west, and south. Nice.
I know people who went to Southern. They went on a film set with Robert De Niro and Pacino.
See?
Martin Scorsese.
Hey.
Yeah. Tell us about the call. When you got the call and you knew you got the part, how does that happen?
Well, my agents call me in like a kind of a conference call with my manager. So everyone's on the phone. So whenever they do that, you're like, you kind of know something's up.
Yeah.
But it had been a couple weeks, and usually you hear within a couple days to a week.
Did you feel good when you auditioned? Who was in the room when you auditioned?
Ellen Lewis, who was the casting director, and she casts most of Scorsese's films, if not all of them.
Wow.
I think. Yeah. He uses all the same people all the time. And I felt good, but you never know. You could feel terrible and then get the part. You never know.
Yeah.
So I had no idea what they were going to say. And then my agents were like, you just wait till we hear what we're going to tell you right now. And I was like, what?
Right.
And then they told me I'm going to be in a Scorsese film.
Wow.
And I was just like, I think I screamed.
I could see you're starting to bubble up just remembering this moment.
Yeah. You scream, they scream,
oh,
we're rich.
Oh, my God. I'd be crying on the floor. Oh, what a moment.
Compose yourself, for Christ's sake.
And then you pull yourself together and say, well, how much do I make?
Exactly right. Let's talk dollars here, please.
So did you get any interaction with Joe Pesci? What's he like?
Joe Pesci, not so much. He wasn't, you know, he was on set, obviously, in that big scene. But I noticed he was smiling a lot.
Is he tall as you?
Yeah, he's really short.
Yeah, when you see him on the screen, his actual size.
And then, didn't Robert De Niro have to wear platforms because Frank Sheeran in real life was taller than Hoffa?
He did, yeah. He wore platforms and he wore blue contacts. Which was weird. Yeah.
Those look so weird on him.
Yeah. That was weird. They were a little lighter blue in person. I think the camera, you know, kind of.
If one pops out as a Malamute.
Yeah. It was just so weird seeing him like that. And, you know, he could play an Irishman, but I always see an Italian.
Exactly.
I know.
In Goodfellas, he was an Irishman.
Yeah,
he's always playing an Irish guy.
Yeah, something like that.
Right.
Something Can't play an Italian sometime.
Were there any funny outtakes?
There were a couple things. Pacino is like, he's like the life of the party.
Really?
Yeah. You could tell he likes, I don't know if he likes attention, but he really gets it.
He holds court. Fun.
Yeah. He like feeds off of it. Oh, whereas De Niro was a lot quiet. Very reserved and quiet.
I picture him being quiet. I've seen him do interviews. He's quiet.
Yeah.
Unless he's talking about Trump, then he goes bananas.
Exactly. Yeah.
But
animated then, yes.
Yeah. Oh, really? That's interesting to know.
So we were doing that scene in the banquet scene where Pacino's introducing De Niro before he comes on stage. And he's like shouting. He shouts like, what side are you on? And everyone shouts back, your side. That wasn't in the script.
Seriously?
Right.
That's no speaking voice, though. Hey, how you doing?
Yeah. Yeah, his voice, right? But Scorsese just like decided to try that. And Pacino couldn't remember like what it was. So he kept messing up the line just like over and over and over again.
Right.
And eventually he was just like, what the heck is the line?
Did he say heck?
Yelled it out. I can't remember.
What the F?
Great answer.
Right. Yeah. Good answer.
But, and then Scorsese, Scorsese's like a small guy.
Yeah.
And it was a huge room. Cameras everywhere. You have no idea where he is. And he just screams out from somewhere. He just like says the line, he yells it out, and everyone starts cracking up because you don't expect to hear his voice like piercing through.
Right, he's actually in the sugar bowl. Yeah,
yeah, because they have like people to do that for them.
Right.
So that was really funny, and he was just cracking up, and then he just went with it. Pacino, he just kept saying like, and we all kept saying back to him.
Oh, that's awesome!
It was this whole fun thing.
Yeah, I heard in all those people, I heard your voice the loudest.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, exactly. It pierced through everybody else. Exactly, yeah.
She meant it.
The screening. Tell us about seeing the movie in its entirety for the first time. What was that like? Where was it?
I saw it at the Directors Guild of America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, what did you do, huh?
Yeah,
I'm guessing no jeans and flip-flops for that one.
No.
Only on De Niro.
Yeah.
That was really nice, yeah. And it's cool because it was a huge, huge theater of all the costume designers, set designers,
everybody.
Like, yeah, they were all there too, which was really cool because
Who's been involved with this thing
had a piece
for years.
Yeah,
they're all there to see their work.
Exactly right. So there's like this energy in the room because everyone's waiting to see it. So many people haven't seen it. Maybe you've just seen small little outtakes and stuff like that.
Right.
So, yeah.
Did you see any outtakes before you saw the whole thing together?
I didn't, no.
No?
I didn't see anything.
There's this thing called dailies, right, where you can...
Yep, dailies. Yeah, but wasn't
you didn't see any of that?
Nope, no dailies.
It's a surprise.
Yeah.
You didn't say, hey, Martin, I want to see this. I want to make sure
Marty,
I'm happy with
Marty.
My
You're going to call
here.
Marty from hey, Marty. Right now. Hey, look, you little bastard,
No, yeah, and then, at the end, everyone kind of like, there's like a beat of silence, and then everyone claps. Everyone always claps at the end.
Yeah.
And
so you knew, right, when you were watching it, what was your take? Did you know it was going to be great?
I had figured it would be, but I didn't know because, it took a long time to edit because of the de-aging process. And I know Scorsese didn't like how it looked at first.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently Scorsese didn't like how it made their eyes look at first, and that's why it was taking so long to edit. They had to do a lot over. So I was kind of like, who knows? And like, what was it going to be like seeing Pacino and De Niro younger like that?
Right, exactly.
And Pesci too. Yeah.
I saw De Niro walking funny. Was that because Frank Sheeran had a back problem, or was there something else going on?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, he was walking fine.
Okay. Not I may have overanalyzed him walking, but
he tripped over Pesci, actually.
Yeah. So you watch this thing. It's 3 hours and 20 minutes. So I'm thinking if the movie becomes 3 hours, 20 minutes in an edit,
right?
You filmed a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that didn't make it.
It was actually a week and a half.
Any scenes that didn't make it?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. So, hey.
That's great. No, I didn't get cut out.
He's like, hey, Jordan's in this one. This one's got to stay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no way we're taking her out.
Exactly. I'm telling you.
What's next for you?
Next, I'm in a series of horror films called Fear Street.
Cool.
And those are based on R.L. Stine's books. So he had Goosebumps, and then he had another series called Fear Street.
Oh. She's got such a cool life.
Thank you, Ashley.
She works hard.
Yes.
Yeah. So awesome.
Yeah. Wow. We couldn't be happier for you.
Seriously,
and
honestly.
To be from East Haven, we're very, very excited for you. And we know you're going to be a big star.
Right.
We're going to see you on the Oscars and all this stuff.
Thank you.
And we just hope that you don't forget us. Come by and visit, okay?
Of course, yeah.
All right.
Thanks for having me.
Jordan DiNatale, always. You're always welcome here. You can come here tomorrow if you want.
All right. Okay?
If you're bored,
I'll be
come over.
All right. Tell your parents they did a great job.
Yes.
Yeah. Good morning, brother.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good.
Morning.
Thanks again for coming out to the toy drive. It was a big deal to have you there.
Well, that's very kind of you. It was fun being there, that's for sure. $162,000. Yikes.
Yep. Yikes. Exactly.
Yep.
We got some good money for that New Haven Coliseum block, and I have to tell you, it was really a thing for me, a standout moment to see Jimmy Coplick signing a block from the New Haven Coliseum.
It was very emotional for me, honestly, and I really, you know, when you held the block and the fact that it was so heavy, it was great, because there's so much in that block.
Right.
It really is so much in that block. As I wrote on it, it's the best building there ever was.
Yeah.
There's nothing better. It'll never be anything better. And I built the Meadows, Xfinity, I built it, and I have a lot to do with Oakdale, and I can go on and on and on, but there'll be nothing like the New Haven Coliseum.
The vibrations that brick felt from concerts that you put on, insane. Insane. You know, a list. It would be great to have a list of all the bands that you put there at the New Haven Coliseum.
Right.
And so many people saw their first show there. I saw my first concert there.
Right.
Jimmy Coplick's show.
Right.
Jennifer saw her first concert there, Jimmy Coplick's show. Yeah, there's a lot of history in that block, and it was really a moment for that to come up and sign it.
I'm looking at my website, my archive site right now, and the Allman Brothers play there in 1981.
Wow.
With Molly Hatchet.
Cool.
Kind of cool. There's a lot of history there, no question about it.
We have another moment from the toy drive. Is this Jimmy being asked brilliant questions?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
What bass guitar player's mother was a school nurse at Milford High School?
Oh, I know this one. I'm like, oh my God, my wheelhouse. I know this one.
Yeah, we're going to rework this Stump Jimmy bit for next year.
I was channeling Jimmy, actually.
Yeah.
I was channeling Jimmy.
Oh my God, can you imagine if I actually knew that answer? I think I'd need to be put away if I knew that answer.
What are you trying to say, Jimmy?
I knew the answer. What was
the
answer?
That was clear years ago, by
Craig
the way.
McGregor. I can answer this.
Yeah, Craig, do you have the answer?
Craig McGregor from Foghat.
Yeah, got
it.
Damn!
Cool.
Yep.
Wow.
It's just, who knows? I mean, really. Who knows? I mean, what we did is we figured out a great way to make sure that somebody gets tickets so they would ask the most difficult questions in the world.
Right.
That Lappy and I would stand up there and look like two morons, which we did, which is fine. Everybody knows that he's a moron. Now they know I'm a moron.
I don't think anyone hearing those questions would expect anyone but the asker to know the answer.
Right.
Right,
you know?
And we didn't even know if this is the right answer.
That's true.
Let's think about that. We have no. They could have said Joe Schmo's mother. And we got, Joe Schmo, okay. I remember. He was in Foghat also, right?
Right. Well, see, here you go. Here's a pair of tickets.
See, around right. Milford, that's the buzz in Milford that he came from Milford.
Right.
His mom was the school nurse.
That's the one thing we're going to retool next year for the toy drive. We'll think of another clever way. Maybe Jimmy will ask the question.
There you go. See? Right. You get it right. You get tickets. Yep.
That requires me to think also. That's not such a good idea.
Okay. We'll figure out something that's nice and low key.
Right.
Let me ask you about a rumor of a reunion, and then we'll take a break and we'll come back and talk about some of your favorite concerts or tours of the last 10 years. There's rumors of Talking Heads getting back together and touring.
You know, I heard the same rumors, and I'm asking around, and nobody seems to know about it. And David Byrne seems to be the one who doesn't want to get back together. He, for some reason, and I don't know what it is, I'm going to look into this and try to find out why, because I'd love to bring the Talking Heads back together. I don't know if he has issues with the ones that are still alive. I'm not sure the other three are still, all three are alive. I think one died. One of the other members already died. But, you know, they're a Westport band, basically. David isn't, but the rest of the band lived in Westport most of their lives.
Yeah.
No, I've not heard anything about that yet.
If they did get back together, can you see them playing in Connecticut?
Yeah, they should play Oakdale or the new Bridgeport Amphitheater, one of the two.
Nice. Oh, wow. That'd be great. Any other rumors circulating or bands you're trying to put back together to do a tour?
Well, I'm trying to get Lynyrd Skynyrd back into Connecticut, and because they played a number of times already. But I'm trying to convince them they haven't played Fairfield County.
Oh, for their last
on their last tour, right?
Right.
Yes. That's an in. Well, you haven't played here yet. You can say goodbye here.
Right.
Right.
We didn't finish anybody.
Yeah.
Your final tour has been in Hartford, and your final tour has been in Uncasville, two other counties. We have six counties. I know a great building in Fairfield County that's opening up this summer. So I'm talking to them about trying to convince them to play the new amphitheater in Bridgeport.
Smooth.
Oh, I love it.
You're good, you.
Jimmy Complic, Live Nation concert got on. We were just talking about The Irishman briefly. He hasn't seen it yet.
Oh.
I was talking about how they digitally made De Niro and Pesci look younger.
Yes.
And someone did that to a picture of you?
They did that with a picture of me. They took all the lines off my face, and then they took my mustache off.
Wow.
Weird. That's not right.
No.
No, 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 no. My mustache, I've had it since 1968. 1996, I got a little too blasted one night, and my wife and I decided it'd be really great if I shaved it off, and let's see what it looks like. So I shaved it off, and she looked at me, and she goes, "I am not sleeping with you until you have your mustache back."
Oh, Lord. See, that was a trick. That was a trap.
It was like you lost your superpower.
Exactly.
That was it.
Yep.
So
no cape for you.
Yep.
And that was it.
That was it. I never shaved it again, so it's sort of growing back that very moment.
Did you meet Wayne Carini backstage at the Toy Drive?
Yes. Great guy.
Yeah, and you guys both are rocking the mustache.
Yes, you are. Yeah. Rocking it well. Epic mustaches.
Yeah. Yeah.
Only certain people can pull that off.
Exactly. You can't pull this off. It's grown in.
You have no idea, so you try to grow it.
Yeah, it's a commitment, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's like your best friend.
All
it's Batman and Robin.
Keeps your lip warm. Yep.
Yeah.
Your flavor taster. Yep.
I can't get rid of it. You're right. Nope. And nobody would know who I am if I got rid of it.
Yeah. That's your disguise. If you ever committed a horrible crime,
right,
shave the mustache off, you'd be able to get right through security.
That's a great idea. Now I could go commit that horrible crime now. I never thought about it.
See that? Go do it right now.
We'll talk after the show what crime I could commit.
Okay.
We'll have fun doing that. Okay.
Suggestions in the audience.
So we're ending the decade here pretty soon. Can we ask you to look back and tell us about some of your favorite concerts or tours of the last 10 years?
Sure. Easily, my favorite concerts was the Eagles at the XL Center in the last couple of years. I just find them to be magical on stage. I happen to be a jam band guy by nature. So I like the Allman Brothers, the Dead, bands like that. But when you go see the Eagles, it's the exact opposite. You get exactly what you hear on record. And the harmonies are absolutely perfect. And I would have to say that was probably my favorite show of the decade, the Eagles at the XL Center.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that was the first show back after a 14-year absence, right?
Yes. And also, I'm looking forward to seeing them in February with a 46-piece orchestra and a 20-person choir at the Garden. They're going to be doing Hotel California and Greatest Hits.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Which would be great, too. I'm obviously a very big Eagles fan, but that to me would be number one. I miss the Allman Brothers all the time. I just every once in a while I go, I wish I could go see the Allman Brothers. The only band that doesn't exist anymore that I wish existed.
And have they played in the last 10 years where you'd put that up as a top 10 favorite?
Yes,
concert?
I went to the October 28, 2014 last show at the Beacon as the guest of J-Mo, who is a Connecticut resident, lives up in Bloomfield. And I was given a poster, a signed poster by them that night, by the band members, and a signed guitar by them that night, which is a treasure of mine. And I would still love to see them get back together, which they could. You know, Derek is still around, and all the guys that were in the Allman Brothers, other than Greg and Butch, are still around. And I'd love to see them get together again.
Who do you think could replace Greg on vocals?
I think Warren Haynes could.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think Warren Haynes vocally could do Greg Allman.
Doesn't Greg have a son?
He does.
Yeah, Devin. He's in the Allman Betts band.
Right.
I would think use him.
What do you think about him?
It's possible. I just think Warren's voice really makes sense to me.
You know,
it's funny because anybody went to the show with Charlie Daniels, when they did Blue Sky, Dickie's son sang Blue Sky, and he's got a voice like his son, which is sort of nice, and Ramblin' Man, but he didn't play lead guitar.
Oh.
Somebody else in the band played lead guitar.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. What's next on your list?
Next on my list would have to be U2, the show they did at Mohegan Sun was just breathtaking, I thought it was just spectacular. That would be next on my list, would be U2.
Big deal to get a band like U2 to play Mohegan Sun, right?
It was a very big deal. I worked on it for about 6-7 years, and finally the right moment came up, and Tom agreed to pay the right amount of money, and it was really something special that night.
Six,
because who sees
seven.
U2 in an 8,000-seat arena?
6 or 7 years.
Oof.
Yeah, 6-7 years. And, you know, you go to Mohegan Sun, you're seeing a show in an 8,000-seat arena. And plus, the bands are always really happy because Tom is the best host. He goes and sees the band. What do you need? He really acts as the host of Mohegan Sun. And the bands love it.
Did you want to talk about any more concerts, or you want to take some questions?
I'm happy to take a few questions. The one thing I want to mention is the Beach Boys reunion show at Mohegan Sun in 2012 was also one of my favorite shows on a personal and a level. Love to see them back together, and the music was extra special.
Hey, you have a long history with those guys.
Very long history, and I got my picture taken with each band member, which is something I had not done, and it was great. And I had an ad for my first Beach Boys show I did in 1971, and I had them sign it, so it was really a very special night for me.
So you hung out with them when John Stamos was drumming for them?
Yes.
What's he like?
Nice guy. Thought he was a Beach Boy. He wasn't a Beach Boy.
No.
But he liked to think he was a Beach Boy, and that would cause issues every once in a while.
Oh, really? Like how?
With one of the other band members, who was a Beach Boy. And
he would have his opinion on how songs should be arranged, or?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
We'll go with that.
Yeah. But a nice guy. I mean, look, he's a music. As I would say to the guy who, in the Beach Boys who I was friends with, who would bitch to me about him, he's on stage with you guys. He has a right to say how the music is. He's on stage with you. I'm a John Stamos fan. I wish I was half as good looking as he is. But second of all, he can play. He can play. He's a real player.
That's weird, though. That
drummer. Yes, he's probably a real player, also.
Yeah. He's good in both. Okay, we'll go. Yeah. Good in both.
Yeah. What do I know?
Yeah.
I think if you're an actor sitting in with the Beach Boys, you just say, "What do you want me to play?
Exactly.
How do you want me to play it?
Right.
Yeah.
How do I approach this?
The Doors, 52 years ago this week, busted in New Haven. That's before you came to Connecticut.
Yes. I was still in high school.
Okay.
Wow.
Yes.
In the stories that you heard about that,
Well, I spoke to Robbie Krieger about it when I played golf with him once and asked him all about New Haven. And he, you know, he was very anti-New Haven police. He said that they were too... They really busted him more for being in a shower with a naked woman. And it was not so much him being on stage, but what he did beforehand that really annoyed the police is what Robbie Krieger said. So they were looking to bust him because of that. Now, again, this was 1967, I think it was, right? 67, something 52, like that.
52, yeah, not something very like good that. On the math. So 67.
You know, it was very different. Nobody would get busted for what they got busted then. But the story, from what I understand, was that the police had it out for him.
And then, they dragged him off stage, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Not great.
No.
No, I'm glad I wasn't the promoter.
Yeah, really.
Right. That's a tough one. All right, Jimmy, you got to get out there and explain this.
I mean, I've had drummers fall off and people, things like that, but I never had the police drag one of my people, one of the lead singer up the stage.
Sam in Cheshire is calling in about the Talking Heads reuniting. Did he have a question or an answer?
He thinks he has insight on it.
Ooh, really? Insight. Ooh, intel.
Wow, let's here then. All right, Sam, what do you think?
All right, so I know that a highly respected musician who is the lead guitarist for one of the probably the premier band playing in the States right now, Phish, has asked David Byrne and Talking Heads to get back together. And this isn't the first time that Trey's asked the band to get back together, and they subsequently did. He guilted Mickey and Gene and Ween to get back together, and they've been playing. He did that on stage. He asked them to get back while Phish was on stage. But Trey's really respected in the music industry, and I really think that when he talks, other musicians listen. So that's my insight, and I've read that on different Phish message boards and stuff. So it's a possibility, higher possibility then.
All right, well, thank you, Sam. Appreciate it, brother.
Right on.
All right.
All right. So it could happen.
It could happen. No question about it. It could happen.
Brent in West Haven, what's your question for Jimmy? Brent?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hey, actually, it's West Hampton, New York.
Okay.
First of all, let me just say, I like to thank Jimmy and Live Nation for everything they do for the veterans. And that they do a phenomenal job. That being said, is Live Nation going to be offering any tickets to the veterans for the Eagles concert at Madison Square Garden?
It's possible. You're right. We do lots of tickets to what we call VetTix, which is an organization that hands out free tickets to veterans. We in Connecticut have handed out tens of thousands of tickets to veterans
That's
in Connecticut.
Cool.
And you can't thank them enough. It's just a small token. I can't speak for the New York office, so I don't know the answer to that. But I hope so, and I know the Eagles feel the same way that I do about veterans.
Thank you for your service, Brent.
Yeah, man, thank you.
Yep, absolutely. So I just don't know the New York office.
All right. And then Friends of Jimmy, still available?
Still available. You know, we have no more shows going on sale this year. Join now. Every show going on sale that takes place in 2020, you will have access to. Buy the tickets. It's easy. We'll send you the email. Just tell us what you need, up to 8 tickets. We'll send you the tickets. It's that simple.
It's unreal.
And it's $325 to join. And just go to friendsofjimmy.com.
What a great gift.
Yep.
And that includes the Bridgeport Amphitheater shows.
It sure does.
Wow.
Holy smokes.
See that?
All right. We'll link up at WPR.com. Jimmy, thank you, my brother. We're off next week. So have a great holiday season and Happy New Year.
And the same to you and all the listeners. Thank you very much.
We are in the mood for giving. Hey, come on in. There's a big pregnant lady walking in.
Oh, my goodness.
And she's tall.
Oh, wow.
Wow. She's tall and wide.
Look at that, Sam.
Yeah. Well, you look very beautiful.
Right.
Yes. All right. Let's have you take a seat here. It's Tom and Jess, everybody. Tom is a Navy veteran, hardcore WPLR listener. Hey, Tom, how are you?
Good, yourself?
Good, thank you. Thank you for your service.
Yeah, thank you, Tom.
Yeah, get right over on that microphone there.
All right.
Also in the room here, AJ, it's a busy studio right now.
Seriously.
Deanna Siner from Michael's Jewelers. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning. Welcome.
Thank you.
All right. You know, we were doing this promotion, AJ. We were asking folks to write us and tell us about things. Do you know why you're here?
I have no idea.
You have no idea why you're here?
Nope, not whatsoever.
What did Tom tell you?
At first, it was a work thing.
Right.
So I thought we were going to Sikorsky.
Right. And now you're in Milford in a radio station wearing headphones.
Look at this.
Yeah. Right. Weird.
This is so weird.
Yeah. So, Tom, how do you want to explain this to Jess?
Oh, God. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we could start off with, I think it was almost maybe a month ago. I was listening on my way into work, and they had a contest to win an engagement ring. And you had to write your story, and I guess I did.
What did you? What did
job.
You write? Get up on the mic there.
Yeah. Oh. So,
yeah. What did you write?
Essentially, it was just how you came into my life when I was in a not so good position, but everything that's happened since you've came into my life has been positive, and I love you.
I love you too. Obviously.
All right. And then
Billy gave it away a little.
Right.
So we told Tom here when he came in that he's one of three finalists.
Yes.
For this engagement ring.
Right.
And Deanna, can you tell us about this engagement ring?
Yep. It is an oval forever mark engagement ring from the engagement and commitment collection. It's a very special ring.
All right. So, Tom, you won the ring.
Wow.
You're the winner.
You won the ring. Yay.
Deanna's going to give it to you now. I don't know if you want to do anything with that ring right now.
Right, right. Like, don't swallow it, yeah. First of all.
Don't swallow it.
Yeah, get it back 8 hours from now. You want that back. They want to add that term to it. After the ring, you don't want to know, honey. I swallowed it. Yeah.
All right.
I got it back for you. That was later. We're good.
Okay.
Oh, he's down on one knee.
What, he trip? Oh, that's supposed to happen.
Ever since you've come into my life, you've brought nothing but good things. I love you with all my heart and soul, and I would love to spend the rest of my life with you. I can't wait to see what a good mother you're going to be to Tucker, because you're a great mother to Ashlyn and Mila, and I love you all, and my family loves you, and I would love to marry you.
Of course. Oh, my God.
Putting the ring on her finger. And it fits. And wow. She said yes. She didn't just say yes. She said, of course.
There's something in my eye.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Something's
in my eye right now.
Something flew in my eye.
Oh, my God. Me too. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much.
This is incredible.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
The thanks really goes to Michael's Jewelers.
Yes.
This was their idea.
Yep.
Thank you guys so and much.
Thank you.
Deanna's just great. And the whole team there at Mark Michael's Jewelers, we've been working with them for a long time, and they're just great people.
Yes, they are.
And they're all about creating memories.
Absolutely.
I think you remember this one for a while, right?
I think so. This is a once-in-a-lifetime.
You better.
Absolutely.
I thought I was going to need a makeup artist to cover my black eyes. She wanted to know everything, and I told her every story under the sun.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that had to be tough to get her here. First, we're going to work, and then now we're going to stop at a radio station.
Well, she thought she was going to fly in a helicopter, and I'm like, I don't think you can fly in a helicopter.
No, no.
Oh, you thought Tom was surprising you with a helicopter ride?
I had no idea.
I had no idea.
What am I going to do with Sikorsky?
Right. Why is he going to be so, like, why is he being coded like this?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, telling me the truth.
The old copter ride excuse. I got that one, yeah.
We wanted to make sure... Deanna was separated from you guys, so it didn't slip.
Very sneaky.
Yeah,
very
sneaky. I saw you walk in, too.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we can't thank Michael's Jewelers enough for doing this.
Seriously.
Really.
Thanks for partnering with us. We're so excited.
Thank you. It's beautiful. Oh, I absolutely love it. Thank you.
Well, I know where you can get your bands now.
Yeah.
So happy for you guys. Now, Tom, are you going to go to work?
The funny story is that... I was just going to have her follow me up in her car, and I'm driving down the road because she was backing out of the driveway as she tells me that my steering wheel's not working. So there is an issue with her power steering not unlocking. So I'm not sure what it is, but between myself and my father, we're going to get it going. For
oh, okay. Me, so if you're listening at Sikorsky, Tom's not coming in today.
And he's sick, right?
Exactly. He's sick with love.
Let's get that cough.
That's right. Right. He's lovesick right
now. Get that thing. That's right.
How long have you guys been together?
This is our second year.
Yep. Second year.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Yeah,
and when are you due?
January 20th.
Oh, nice. Yeah, so you're ready.
Yes.
You're ready.
Little
you're
baby
ready.
Boy.
Yeah. And how did you guys meet?
Through friends.
Yeah.
We've known each other for a while, and the stars aligned, brought us together. And
yeah, it was perfect timing.
Oh, I love it. And how long were you in the Navy, Tom?
I was in the Navy for 4 years and 8 months.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
much.
I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
What a romantic proposal, too. Now, I want you to know, Jess, that Tom didn't know all this was going to unfold. He thought he was a finalist.
Okay, so he was left in the dark a little bit, too?
A little bit.
I didn't lie all the way.
Right. Yeah, we were deceiving everybody here today. We wanted to have this moment happen on the air, and wow, you pulled out a really good proposal there. Right? That was right from the heart.
I hope. I mean, obviously, I think it's recorded because I really don't remember anything. I'm still a little fuzzy, guys.
Yeah. So. Oh, no, we have it, and I think it's on Instagram right now, right?
Wow.
Live on the Michael Stuhler site.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful.
Excellent.
Yeah. So thank you so much for sharing this real important moment with us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Congratulations to you both.
Yeah.
Well, let us know when the wedding is, because we'll go.
Yes,
well, you guys definitely have an invite.
Deanna, thank you so much for making this happen. Really appreciate
it. Thank you so much.
Happy
holidays to everyone.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Too.
Hey, how about it for Tom and Jess?
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.